When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to Turf Show Times, the podcast, the instant reaction show. I'm Kenneth Arthur. With me, Chris Daniel. And the Rams beat the Cardinals 20-12, an 8-point victory that had its ups and downs. We'll say that. And obviously the ups from the score, you can tell already, only 12 points allowed to the Cardinals. This is a team that scored 11 points when they most recently played. And if you go back a year to the first meeting last year, well, that was a Cardinals team that scored 37 points against the Rams. So clearly a difference here. I want to start right away, Chris, with asking you, how do you think Kyler Murray played today? Kyler Murray goes 37 of 58. He throws 58 passes. So keep that in mind here, everybody. When you see that he threw for 314 yards, another reason why passing yards, not a very useful statistic without context. 37 of 58. Just flat out, how do you think Kyler Murray played, Chris?
Yeah, just like you said, context is important. I don't really think he played very well at all. And then when you consider that 314 yards on 58 attempts, he also only had 8 yards rushing on two attempts. That's kind of a similar stat line to the playoff game and wildcard weekend. He's got to run the ball more, but I'm not complaining. He didn't play well. The Rams are his and the Cardinals' kryptonite. It is what it is at this point.
Yeah, that was definitely clear. Do you think the Cardinals, let's just say again, let's keep pressing this issue. Do you think the Cardinals, which are 11-6 last year, and the NFC, not like the strongest conference out of the two probably, do you think the Cardinals are a playoff team?
No, not right now. I can't say that, no. Because, and the reason I say that is because we're used to them starting fast and faltering late. If they falter in the beginning and then continue the trend that the Cardinals show under Cliff Kingsbury – of faltering late, then where are their wins coming?
Right. Absolutely. You know? I mean, you know, this was a game, again, you know, so more context. This is a game AJ Green left with an injury. I don't think he's very effective at this stage in his career, but he did have no catches on two targets, and he left with a knee injury. And the Cardinals came in without DeAndre Hopkins, of course, and they came out without their second-round pick from a year ago, where Rondale Moore was inactive. So Marquise Brown is, you know, their number one receiver, 14 catches, 140 yards. Greg Dortch, former Rams practice squad player, as well as other practice squads, 9 catches for 80 yards, and he had one really big catch there on the sidelines. But every time the red zone came along, or, you know, the team was moving down the field, the Rams came away with the play. We saw several Rams do that. And, you know, that was definitely the savior of the Rams. They only scored 20 points. Matthew Stafford, 18 of 25, 249 yards. It's definitely, you know, I think that we saw moments today, Chris, where you don't have to question whether or not his arm has fallen off, right? He's got a very strong arm. We saw that today. What did you see out of Matthew Stafford against Arizona?
So when you look at the stat line, it's, with all due respect, a Jared Goff-like stat line. But if you watch the game, the throws, some of the throws that he made don't match that stat line. He made some solid throws in there, put some nice arm angles and some nice sidearm angles in there. And the passes had zip on them. You know, he overthrew Tutu Atwell, which we don't know what that means at this point in Tutu Atwell's career, but we know he's fast and he overthrew him. So that's not an incompletion I'm happy about. But at the same time, I'm glad that he's got the arm strength still and the elbow isn't bothering him. It was an overblown issue, obviously, because he's still letting that ball rip down the field.
We thought for a while there we were getting, well, first of all, Cam Akers, I think he had 2 carries for -1 yards in the first half, something like that. So, you know, again, it was like, okay, nothing there. He finishes the game with 12 catches for 61 yards. and a touchdown. And just when you think, okay, there's some sort of blessing here with the backfield that we've been talking about it for weeks, if not the whole offseason. Mm-hmm. Just like, do the Rams have a running back attack, anything of sorts, something to get going there? You know, Chris, you mentioned before, oh, this team's got to add Malcolm Brown. They did add Malcolm Brown, and we didn't see him this week, but the ball's going to Cam Akers. Yay, yay, yay. And then what did we see? Just like we saw twice in one game in the playoffs last year, a fumble at a key position, a terrible place on the field, could have put the game away. And then Cam Akers, you know, fumbled the ball. And I don't know. People have all kinds of comments, I know, but it just so happens that one comment I read on Twitter was something along the lines of, well, the defender made a good play. It doesn't matter. You know, that doesn't matter. The running back should expect on every play that some defensive player is going to make a good play. That should be first and foremost on their mind. How do you protect the football? And for Cam Akers, whether it's bad luck or not, at the end of the day, you fumble in this league as a running back, you're not going to have a job. And we saw that. We've seen that, you know, with really good players and really good running backs, everything outside of their fumble issues, because ball protection, all that is very important. So on the other hand, Darrell Henderson, 4 carries for 17 yards. And this was not a necessarily a ground control game, even though the Rams had 20 carries for 100 yards. Nobody's really stepping up here. So Chris, what were your thoughts on Cam Akers and the running backs? Like, is it possible that Cam Akers, like if Cam Akers gets more opportunities next week, all I know is if he fumbles again, it's job security is completely up in the air. So what were your thoughts?
So here's my thoughts. The first thing you do to protect against having issues at the 1 yard line is don't get tackled at the 2 or 1 yard line. So Allen Robinson, score that touchdown, please. So now on to Cam Akers, that fumbled. All right. So I'm going to take a little bit of a different approach with this one. He's getting tackled. He's got two people on him. He's twisting and he turns to extend the ball across the goal line. And Buda Baker, you got to think Carl was coming, right? He laid Buda Baker out last year. Put him on a stretcher. Not funny. Glad that Buda was okay, right? But Buda Baker, karma was on his side, and he got his fumble. He got his forced fumble, right? I'm not going to – you do need to protect the ball, but let's look at it like this. At that point, it was 20-9, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Right.
If those extra 2 inches, if he gets that ball to touch that plane, break that chalk, the game is over. So in that circumstance, I'm not terribly upset. And just judging by, you couldn't obviously hear what Sean McVay said to Cam Akers, but judging by the body language, Sean McVay wasn't terribly upset with that. And I think that's part of the reason why. That's a kill shot if he gets that ball in the end zone. He is that close, right? Now, just like you said, ball security is job security for a running back. But we've seen Sean McVay try. He's trying to make Cam Akers the guy. This is Cam Akers' best game since he's been back, right? Darrell Henderson, 4 carries. 4 carries in a game where you're leading the entirety of the game. So Sean McVay clearly wants Cam Akers to be the guy. He's going to give him every opportunity to be that guy. Now, again, like you said, if he fumbles next week, that is going to throw a wrench into that plan of making him the guy. But we've got to pound that rock more. I think we had 5-6 carries out of the running backs at halftime. That's not enough. That's not enough.
First of all, I hope, Chris, I hope we disagree and have different angles. At least half of the time makes for better television is what I'm going to call a podcast, but no problems there. And I definitely think you're right. You know, it's there's definitely those opportunities to say like, hey, the defense again. Yeah. That's that line. It's that edge of you make the play to win the game, but at the same time, the Cardinals are going, thank God you made a play that gave me a chance to win the game. I didn't think we were going to win the game. But then you gave something that we didn't think was going to happen, and now we have the ball because of you. So, you know, ultimately, another thing is that Cam Akers is not rushing for 150 yards a game. So he's not safe enough to the point where you go, oh my gosh, well, he is such a value. Well, look at all the other things he does. So not exactly. Also, hey, look, it's a team sport outside of, I think, quarterback is, it's kind of its own sport. That's my controversial opinion, but it's a team sport. And I think that, you know, it's not like the Rams have the most, this isn't exactly the same offensive line and team that Marshall Faulk had, you know, so it's not exactly open up to that degree. We also know that Marshall Faulk is a step above players, most running backs that have ever played the game, but still it's like, he's not one of these guys yet. You know, we don't know how this reaction is going to be to the foot injury, because he didn't have any numbers in the playoffs last year. He hasn't stepped up here. And, you know, it's through three games now where Sean McVay, you know, we didn't see any mention of Cam Akers in the training camp and preseason. And so it's not like, well, he's just not ready yet. So what happened in the last 9 months, you know, so getting the ball now and, you know, as you said, not a lot of carries in the first half, six total, probably one of those was Cooper Kupp.
Six total from the running backs.
Gotcha. Yep. Well, still, Cooper Kupp scored a rushing touchdown this season before Cam Akers did. So there's, you know, something I didn't expect. Cam Akers, then in the second half, you know, like you said, it was really that second drive that of the second half. 8-play, 75-yard touchdown drive. That pretty much does as much to put away the game as anything else. And on that drive, Cam Akers over and over again, helping the Rams move down the field. But then when you try to replicate that, that's where it's like on the next drive, it looks like it's being replicated, and then it ends in a fumble, unfortunately. And it's on second and goal, you know, from the one. So I don't know if you need to take that kill shot right away, but even still, you know, it's up to Cam Akers. And next week you go against the 49ers. So on Monday Night Football. So it's like, oof. I mean, the spotlight, I think it's going to be on, I don't even play fantasy football, Chris, but I'm imagining that people are losing their minds over this running back rotation. Is that what's probably happening out there?
Well, let me tell you, there's not a probably, okay? I kept Cam Akers. See, I sneakily drafted Cam Akers last year knowing that he wouldn't play, but I drafted him late so I could use him as a keeper and not have to spend that high draft capital. So now I've got Cam Akers and Daryl Henderson on my bench, and I'm looking like, somebody take control of this backfield. So yeah, I wouldn't play any Rams running back next week against the 49ers. The season starts next week. Our three preseason games are in. We went 3-1, 2-1 in the preseason.
True.
Next week, the season starts. I'm not even going to expect a ton of production in terms of yardage out of the running game next week. But what I would expect, or what I would hope for, is if we need to get a yard or third and one, third and two, when we need to get it, we have to get it. Cam Akers, in terms of fantasy football, that's going to be something to look at the rest of the season. I don't know, because while Cam Akers is getting more carries, he's not getting enough. Just like you said earlier, he's not doing enough to be that guy. He's not doing enough to be that guy in your fantasy lineups either.
You know, at some point, I'll probably have to just scour the league, look for teams that may not make the playoffs around, let's say, late October, and they have one or two running backs, and maybe, you know, one of them isn't going to be around for past this season, and Les Snead is looking at one of those day two picks, just like he traded for Sony Michel, and thinking, I can make a change right now. I'm not waiting till next year, which is what he usually does. So I'm going to have to start thinking about maybe some of those running back options, who they could be, especially because, you know, I'm just theoretically, I don't think the Browns are going to be trading Kareem Hunt this year, because I think that they very clearly could compete to make the playoffs there in the AFC, and they're going to want both of those guys. But just an example of a guy that a lot of people talk about who we know is a little unhappy with his situation. It's like, you know, that if the Rams were to add a player like a Kareem Hunt, they should be able to work out right away. You know, there should be some sort of immediate payoff from a move like that. So it wouldn't surprise me at all to maybe do that, especially because, you know, this is a team that just came off of a 21 game season, a team that, you know, if they want to win the Super Bowl has to go 20 or 21 games. And, you know, it's just a lot of going on. I mean, how exhausted are, you know, certain players after today? Kyler Murray, 58 pass attempts. So any thoughts there on adding a running back of a high caliber this year, or do you think that would be a waste?
I definitely wouldn't say it would be a waste, because you can never have enough good players on your team, and you can never have enough good running backs. That's a position that just gets beat up over the course of the year. Like, you don't even, it's hard to even honestly call running backs injury prone, because they're running into grown men over and over and over again. I'm going to get injured if I do it once. All right. In terms of high caliber running backs out there, I don't, just off the top of my head, I don't think of any right now that's maybe on the trade block or even secretly on the trade block. I do remember earlier in the off season, excuse me, earlier in training camp, when Kareem Hunt was, he was frustrated and he requested a trade. And I remember every time there's anyone disgruntled and requesting a trade, Twitter's going to blow up and say, hey, Rams, here we go again, Rams.
Yeah.
If that were to happen, if the Rams were to get Kareem Hunt, start him. Start him. All right. We'll figure out the rest. That man is a grown damn man.
Mm-hmm.
That rushing attack in Cleveland, first of all, they're not going to trade him because they understand the value. Just like we've been saying, that position gets beat up. Nick Chubb, he's going to miss a game or two somewhere. It's likely going to happen. And when you can turn around and say, okay, you sit out, you rest up, Chubb, Kareem Hunt, let's give you 20 carries and five targets. They're not going to trade away that luxury. Do you have anyone on your mind that maybe the Rams should look out for to try to snatch before the trade deadline at running back?
Well, I definitely think that when I'm trying to think of those types of answers to those types of questions, you know, like I do think it's got to come from a team that's just like not in contention. And I do think there are certain situations. You could say the Raiders are 0-3 with Josh Jacobs. I don't know if Josh Jacobs is a move the needle type of running back, really, especially for the Rams. Just the first name that comes to mind, and the Raiders are the only 0-3 team in the league right now. And a surprising one might be, you know, another one might be the Lions, where you've got Brad Holmes and they've got Jamal Williams. It's like they're going to go with DeAndre Swift for as long as they possibly can. Jamal Williams, we saw him in Hard Knocks, you know, very rah-rah, good type of teammate to have. And that might be another reason why, hey, you know, if the Lions, who lost today and they're 1-2, if they're in a situation where they're like, hey, Jamal, do you want to go to a playoff team or a team that's trying to make the playoffs? Brad Holmes calls less need. Hey, do you want Jamal Williams? Hey, we'll put Jamal Williams out here. You know, it's just another option, but he's not really a move the needle type guy. Maybe a surprise would come from inside the division. You know, the Seahawks are a terrible team. Rashad Penny, he's not doing any good down there. He's probably not going to be, I mean, not like he could be a good player, but he's not going to help the Seahawks do anything.
Right.
And he's going to be a free agent after the year. I don't think Seattle's worried about Rashad Penny coming back to bite them if they trade him to a division rival. So that might be an interesting one. What do you think?
I like the thought process there. I want to piggyback off of that Jamal Williams. You said, what if Brad Holmes goes to him and say, hey, do you want to get traded to a team that's likely going to make the playoffs, right? How about this? Do you want to go to the team that you grew up rooting for? He's a Rams fan. He grew up a Rams fan.
There you go.
Nugget.
That's a good one. Hey, anybody listen to this, you might just have heard the origin of a Turf Show Times story. Yeah, Jamal Williams. I mean, that would be an interesting union, you know, and I do think there's a connection to be made there. Of course, you know, the Lions, they might be 1-2. They've lost those games by a close margin, and they don't feel to themselves like a 1-2 team. So for that to happen, I think the Lions would have to win a couple or lose a couple more games here. And the Lions play the Seahawks in week 4. So that might answer some questions there. But yeah, the running back is interesting. There's another thing that's interesting, and it is related to fantasy, I guess, as any offensive player is. But Cooper Kupp, 4 catches for 44 yards. Now you go back, you see Cooper Kupp has put up 90 yards in all but 3 games since the start of 2021, including the playoffs, at least 90 yards. The Cardinals, the Cardinals, the Cardinals. What does Arizona do to keep Cooper Kupp out of this game and every game, even though ultimately, you know, the Rams have won these last 2 games anyway?
I mean, it had to happen sooner or later, right? It had to happen sooner or later. He wasn't going to continue that pace. Now he'll start a new streak next week, or maybe the week after. But they are 4 for 44. Those are you don't expect to see Cooper Kupp next to that stat line. But then you do throw in 20 yards rushing and a touchdown. That puts him at 64 total with a touch. The Cardinals, they probably did everything the same thing that every other team tries to do.
Yeah.
You know, give help to Cooper. Give help to wherever Cooper's at. They line him up all over the place, man. It's hard to take that guy. He's the best receiver in the NFL. It's hard to hold the best receiver in the NFL to 44 yards,
And you
man.
know, when it happens, what does he do? He scores.
He
He still
scores.
scores
He
20
still
yard rushing touchdowns. So it's like
and
you're
let's
gonna
not
find
forget
him.
and let's not forget he had a drop touchdown.
Oh yeah.
He dropped a touchdown pass. So now that was I'm not sure how many yards that would have been, but let's say I'm pretty sure it was at least 20, 25 yards. And then another touchdown. So now we're talking about 65, 70 yards in the air, a touchdown in the air, 20 yards on the ground, and a touchdown on the ground. That drop pass kind of changes the dynamic of his stat line. So I'm not going to give the Cardinals too much credit. Call me the Grinch. I'm not giving them too much credit.
I mean, it's the Cardinals, you know, it's the Cardinals.
As I like to call them, the Frogos.
I think the other side of that is like just talking about the receivers. Ben Skowronek leading the receivers, 4 catches, 66
Oh.
yards on 4 targets. Tyler Higbee, 61 yards. Kendall Blanton's return equals 28 yards on 1 catch. Allen Robinson, people are gonna talk about this if he You know,
Yeah.
he didn't have a strong game. And then it's like, if you come out and you talk about it, it's like, okay, he's now been not very productive in 2 out of 3 games, and he hasn't really been really productive in any of his games.
Right.
And I mean, I don't need to listen to Sean McVay after the game to know what Sean McVay is going to say, you know, and I don't think you do either. I don't think most people do. It's like, you're not going to get a ton of like information about like, hey, is it okay if we hold any of these players like accountable or whatever for not, you know, maybe living up to the hype? Even though I would agree with Sean McVay, I'm sure he has reasonable answers to say, yeah, you know, it was the game plan or they did a good job against him and it's only been 3 weeks and everything like that. But at the either way, if we're 5, 6, 7 weeks into the season and Allen Robinson isn't producing like Odell Beckham or Robert Woods were, then it's going to become a question. So that's just something to look out for. Something that's more like apparent and present already, I think, is Brandon Powell had 3 catches for 27 yards. Tutu Atwell is nowhere. And I thought, well, I don't know. I keep bringing this up. I thought, well, what was all this talk about Tutu Atwell in the preseason? And I have a lot of patience for players. I have more patience, I think, than most other writers, people. I have nothing but patience. I have so much patience, Chris, that I wiped the rookie record clear from everybody. It's like juvenile hall. Okay, you were a minor at the time. I'm not talking about, you know, but Tutu. But now it's your second year, three games, nothing. And it's not just so much nothing. And I'm not mad at Tutu Atwell. I'm not mad at anybody. But I do think it's like more time to come to the conclusion, hey, you're behind Brandon Powell. That means that you're fifth or so on the depth chart. And I don't know that, you know, I don't even know where you're going to get into this whole team. So as far as the receiver rotation, we've seen Ben Skowronek clearly move way ahead, seventh round pick. In terms of the pecking order, but then you've got all these other players. How do you feel about the distribution and some of these guys at the back end? Are you just excited about Brandon Powell, or what are your thoughts?
So my thoughts, first of all, two thoughts off the top. One, you're a little bit fired up, and I like it. and number two is we're going to be talking about this receiver situation for a second. So you cut me off when you feel the need to. So
I got it.
With Tutu, I'm no longer calling him Tutu. I'm going to call him Chartarius until he earns the Tutu. He, just like you said, Brandon Powell is playing the Tutu Atwell role, basically. They took a deep shot with him. Great. If you put Brandon Powell out there, I mean, the same thing happens. It was an overthrow, right? But I'm more comfortable with Brandon Powell just because I've seen Brandon Powell do some things, right? And let's not, for anyone that didn't see this during the Super Bowl, there was a moment, obviously, we were going down, wide receivers were going down in the Super Bowl. We were struggling in that department, right? And he wanted to get in and play receiver. I like Brandon Powell. I like him, and I like him a lot. Three catches, 27 yards, not a big stat line, right? But then you factor in the returns, and, I mean, this guy refuses to fair catch. Three returns, 43 total yards. That's averaging 14.3. I mean, we also had Tutu Atwell to start the season last year. That was one of his jobs. So Brandon Powell is now – taking punt returns from Tutu Atwell. Now he's taking offensive snaps from Tutu Atwell. I'm with you in terms of being patient. I felt like I was pretty patient with Tutu Atwell. I'm going to go ahead and say Chartarius. I'm sorry if I'm mispronouncing that. We shouldn't be saying that. We should be saying, and this is the first and last time I'm going to say this, we should be saying damn Creed Humphrey. That should be Creed Humphrey. All right, I'm not going to piss anyone else off because that's what that comment is going to do, because it should have been Creed. It should have been Creed. All right, so now other receivers. Tyler Higbee, obviously tight end, but for this particular, he's catching the ball. We're going to go ahead and lump him in there. Tyler Higbee has been balling this season. Now, he got peppered with targets at the end of that Buffalo Bills game. It was a blowout, right? But he's consistently getting looks. Only four catches, but he's making the most out of them. Four catches, 61 yards, a fair amount of those tight end screens. He's not going down. I love it. Kendall Blanton coming back with one catch, 28 yards, but it was an impactful 28 yards. I felt like he did more than just that one catch and 28 yards. Now, the thing that I wanted to talk about the most.
Let's hear it.
Benny Sko. I love it. All right. So I got teary-eyed on Cam Akers' touchdown. And it wasn't because of Cam Akers. It was because of Benny Sko. So now during the week, we were lied to. For anyone who watched any of the pressers, we were lied to by Liam Cohn. He said Ben Skowronek was at fullback. Game specific to the Falcons, we probably won't see it too often. First play, Benny Sko lines up at fullback. That was a penalty. It's a penalty. The play doesn't officially count. But he was out there in that package in the first play. And let me tell you why I love it, right? If he I haven't seen him do bad at playing fullback position. There was a stretch play to the right where I think there was a little confusion as to who he needed to block. But other than that, I haven't seen something stand out as blatantly bad. And the reason why that's good is because I feel like this is his blocking floor. He's only going to get better. If he gets better at run blocking, lead blocking from the fullback position, do defensive coordinators see that package with him on the field and call it 11 personnel? Or do they have to start treating it as 21 personnel, two running backs, one tight end? Because now you have to say, do we need to go a little heavier in our defensive personnel package? Or do we still play this guy as a receiver? That's going to open up so many things that you can do offensively when the defensive coordinator is questioning the personnel package from the start, and then he's doing good at lead blocking, and now he's coming into his own as a receiver. That's dangerous. That's going to be dangerous. Van Jefferson hated the fact that he went on IR today. I'm not saying Benny Snow is going to take his job, but I'm not saying that Van Jefferson's going to come right in and send Benny Snow back to the bench. He's starting to come into his own. All of the drop passes in the playoffs last year, we can overlook those now because we did win the Super Bowl. It didn't cost us like it could have.
You know, it's really something, you know, when you think about Ben Scow. Is you come out of a career, first of all, I mean, I think that one of the things I love about the NFL, and this applies to all sports in some degree, but maybe just for me, I only follow the NFL. So, but what I like about the NFL so much is how bad people do at evaluating recruits out of high school, college, draft prospects. Like there's always, it's almost like all the guys that you draft early or that are five stars, it's like, oh yeah, well, it's easy to look at those guys and see that they're elite. You know, they're different. That's great. It's that part is easy. Even though they get a lot of early picks wrong and a lot of five-star prospects wrong. But what I love is the guys like Cooper Kupp, who it's like you time after time, so many people came across these players and said, you know, oh, you're not an NFL guy. You're not a Division One guy. And it's like you can always keep working and fighting and have that little glimmer of hope. Ben Skowronek, you know, he goes to Northwestern, not a big recruit coming out of high school. He finishes his career at Northwestern. He's done. He finished it with in 2019, played in three games, 12 catches, 141 yards. He's not a prospect. He probably wouldn't even get a tryout. You know, it's like nothing. Gets as a grad student, goes to Notre Dame, does enough to get, you know, into the cycle of people who are being evaluated for the draft. Is they say this guy, I don't know if he's a receiver, but he can play special teams. So you just do whatever you can to get onto a team and say, I'll play special teams. I'll be the best at special teams. And he gets in as a seventh round pick, 249th overall, almost undrafted. Gets onto a team and says, I'll do anything, you know, I'll post special teams, I'll play fullback, you know, and here he is just climbing, 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 and making himself inexpendable. I mean, just any seventh round pick to make a team is unlikely. It's like, you know, just because you're drafted, it's just right there in the seventh round. And then to have it not just that, but you surpassed guys drafted in front of you. You've surpassed guys who make more money than you. And it's just like, hey, kids out there, just do anything you can. Play fullback, play special teams, be the best special teams person out there. And you might be a starting wide receiver for the Rams because, you know, it's just developing and you're earning that extra time with coaches to say, oh, you just keep letting me show up every week and I keep getting NFL training on how to be a wide receiver. I'm going to keep getting better at that too. So, you might be right, Chris. You know, Van Jefferson, he definitely has to fight for something out there because, hey, Ben Skowronek, Benny Scow, a couple years ago was about to finish his entire career as a football player, and now he just led the Rams in receiving against the Cardinals in a week. You know, it's pretty Amazing. I think just his story at this point, not even knowing if it gets any better than that, but I do think kind of a comeback time for fullbacks, is it not, Chris? Do you think this could be a comeback time for the fullback position?
And see, that's the thing, though. Do we call it fullback? It is a fullback position, but he's a wide receiver. Everybody wanted to Debo Samuel, wide back. Do we have to call Benny Skoll full receiver or wide back? Like, what do we do? Is it a fullback? The way they're using him, it is a return to the fullback. And it's something that we need to see every game. It's getting him matched up on linebackers. It's dangerous. It's dangerous. Imagine the Rams come out, right? And they leave Cam and Darrell Henderson on the sideline or something, right? Or you have Cam in there. You throw Cam out wide and you line up Cooper Kupp and Ben Skowronek in the backfield. What the hell is going through the middle linebacker's head? What's going through the defensive coordinator's head? Then you throw them in motion, put them all out wide. Now you got empty backfield. There's so many things that you can do now because he is progressing at everything that he is doing, and he has the best in the league to learn from.
Yes, absolutely. That's another thing. Yeah, you're playing next to the best receiver in the NFL. You've got Allen Robinson. You've got Sean McVay. You've got, and that Sean McVay attracts the best like up and coming coaching talent because they want to leapfrog into a promotion. So it's very good times there for the Rams receivers who like working their way up. Not good times for all of the Rams
No,
receivers.
one more thing I want to say real quick, if you don't mind. Allen Robinson, you got to catch that damn pass. That's a touchdown.
Yeah.
That's a touchdown. So now we've got two drop touchdowns this game. One from Cooper Kupp, which we can overlook with no problem there, Kupp. You got
Yeah.
us. Allen Robinson, hey, you got to tuck that damn shirt in and catch the ball.
We have reached the end of the Instant Reaction podcast. Before we go, Chris, who would you say is your defensive player of the game? We had sacks from Aaron Donald and Terrell Lewis. We also had a big, huge pass breakup there by Darian Kendrick, with the Rams playing very shorthanded in that secondary. Who would be your defensive player of the game as we get out of here?
I had no idea that time went by that fast. Just Aaron Donald got his 100th sack. How can you give it to anyone else? He was in the
Yeah.
backfield all day long. You love to see it. You love to see it. Aaron Donald.
Yeah, and I mean it's that's why I would have given him I think also he had a good game in the Super Bowl, but for me it's like Ray Lewis winning Super Bowl MVP. It's like that's your symbolic MVP. How he did good and the defense was awesome. So yeah, I mean when you have Aaron Donald, you worry less about not having all these Troy Hills and Jordan Fuller's and all the guys who are out. We'll see how that works out next week against the 49ers on Monday Night Football. And the Rams at 2-1, they're in first place in the NFC West, have a lead over the Arizona Cardinals, one game lead over the Cardinals, lead over the Seahawks, of course, and we'll see what happens to the 49ers, but that's next week. So stay tuned, subscribe to Chirp Showtimes, the podcast. I'm Kenneth Arthur, with me is Chris Daniel, and I forget what Chris said should be my out phrase.
But just remember, it was a good one.
It was a good one.
Goodbye.
Remember that. Terp Show Times has good out phrases, catchphrases. Goodbye.